May the Lord help us to commence with hymn number 13. God's mercy is forever sure, eternal is his name. As long as life and speech endure, my tongue this truth proclaim. Hymn number 13.
Thank you. Let's read together from the Word of God, Paul's first epistle to Timothy, reading from chapter 3 and 4. Paul's first epistle to Timothy, and we will read from chapter 3 and 4. This is a true saying. If a man desire the office of a bishop, he desireth a good work. A bishop then must be blameless, the husband of one wife, vigilant, sober, of good behaviour, given to hospitality, apt to teach, not given to wine, no striker, not greedy of filthy lucre, but patient, not a brawler, not covetous, one that ruleth well his own house, having his children in subjection with all gravity. For if a man know not how to rule his own house, how shall he take care of the church of God? Not a novice, lest being lifted up with pride he fall into the condemnation of the devil. Moreover, he must have a good report of them which are without, lest he fall into reproach and the snare of the devil. Likewise must the deacons be grave, not double-tongued, not given to much wine, not greedy of filthy lucre, holding the mystery of the faith in a pure conscience. And let these also first be proved, then let them use the office of a deacon, being found blameless. Even so must their wives be grave, not slanderers, sober, faithful in all things. Let the deacons be the husbands of one wife, ruling their children and their own houses well. For they that have used the office of a deacon well purchase to themselves a good degree and great boldness in the faith which is in Christ Jesus. These things write I unto thee, hoping to come unto thee shortly. But if I tarry long, that thou mayest know how thou oughtest to behave thyself in the house of God, which is the church of the living God, the pillar and ground of the truth. And without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifest in the flesh, justified in the spirit, seen of angels, preached unto the Gentiles, believed on in the world, received up into glory. Now the Spirit speaketh expressly that in the latter times some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils, speaking lies in hypocrisy, having their conscience seared with a hot iron, forbidding to marry, and commanding to abstain from meats which God hath created to be received with thanksgiving of them which believe and know the truth. For every creature of God is good, and nothing to be refused, if it be received with thanksgiving. For it is sanctified by the word of God and prayer. If thou put the brethren in remembrance of these things, thou shalt be a good minister of Jesus Christ, nourished up in the words of faith and of good doctrine, whereunto thou hast attained. But refuse profane and old wives' fables, and exercise thyself rather unto godliness. For bodily exercise profiteth little, but godliness is profitable unto all things, having promise of the life that now is, and of that which is to come. This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation. For therefore we both labour and suffer reproach, because we trust in the living God, who is the Saviour of all men, especially of those that believe. These things command and teach. Let no man despise thy youth, but be thou an example of the believers in word, in conversation, in charity, in spirit, in faith, in purity. Till I come, give attendance to reading, to exhortation, to doctrine. Neglect not the gift that is in thee, which was given thee by prophecy, with the laying on of the hands of the presbytery. Meditate upon these things, give thyself wholly to them, that thy profiting may appear to all. Take heed unto thyself and unto the doctrine, continue in them, for in doing this thou shalt both save thyself and them that hear thee. May the Lord bless that word to us and help us to seek him at the throne of grace. O Lord, be pleased to receive us into thy presence, we pray. And be pleased, Lord, to work in our hearts thy spirit and grace. And grant to us, Lord, that true approach unto thee, faith and love, and a desire for thy name, desire for thy worship, a desire, Lord, to come to the means of grace to sing thy praise, to give glory to thy great name, for all blessings of salvation, and in particular, Lord, the most blessed and unspeakable gift, thy dearly beloved Son, into this world. Oh, we do pray, Lord, that we may be helped and enabled this evening hour to give glory to thee, seeking, Lord, to be those indeed blessed, those drawn to thee by the cords of love and through thy Spirit, that we might be helped again this evening hour to learn and to know of thee. And it is here a little and there a little, line upon line and precept upon precept, that we learn and know of thee. But we do pray, Lord, that it may be a good time and a profitable time, and that thy word and thy truth indeed may be blessed to our souls, and that we may grow in the grace and the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. O Lord, what a mercy it is to be enabled, Lord, and to have a desire, Lord, to truly seek after thee and to grow in that grace and knowledge of thee, Lord. We do believe there is such a fullness in thee and in thy word, truth and doctrine, that, O Lord, truly the gospel storehouse can never be exhausted, and that we are enabled to partake and to grow in grace and knowledge of thee. And we pray, Lord, that we may be like unto thy servant Paul, such a learned man and a man given such knowledge through the Spirit, and in doctrine, truth, in salvation, and in all the manner and the conduct of thy saints, the Lord is given great knowledge, but that I might know him. Oh, we do pray, Lord, that we may each know what it is again and again to seek thee, to draw near to thee, and to be able, Lord, to know thee, to know thee more and more, Lord, in thy saving grace, to know thee more and more and more plain in thy sufferings to us, to know more of the greatness of thy salvation, and to know and to seek and desire, Lord, by and through a living faith, to be able to contemplate, to meditate of those things that are reserved for them that love thee. And it is by a believing faith and a hope and an expectation according to thy word that thou hast prepared a place for us. And we do believe that thy servant Job was greatly encouraged, strengthened in his soul in the midst of all his affliction. I know that my Redeemer liveth, and knew indeed that he should be one blessed to rise again from the dead and forever behold his Lord, to see him as he is. And Lord, we do pray that even that old saint indeed, so blessed and so knowledgeable through the Spirit, that he would come to that day, though worms destroy his body, that he would see the Lord Jesus. And Lord, we're journeying forth, and we pray, Lord, that we may have such a desire and such an opening up of thy word to us, that thou wilt be pleased to enlighten us and to enlarge our souls upon such a great and blessed portion as that, that at the end it shall be well with us, and that we shall behold thee, the Lamb of God that did take away the sin of the world. O Lord, lead us on. Encourage us in our faith. And Lord, bring us each, Lord, from time to time to be able to retire and turn aside, and to draw our hearts, Lord, through thy Spirit, into the contemplation of our heaven that has been prepared for us, and glory with thee. O Lord, we pray that as we journey forth and we feel many discouragements, sorrow and mourn overmuch, and Lord, a path, Lord, crooked and rough indeed, but Lord, we do pray that if thou wilt be but gracious to us, and help us, Lord, to, by faith, look above all these things, and that we may indeed be strengthened, encouraged, as we go forth with disappointments and discouragements in the way, and that thou wilt be pleased, Lord, then, to bring us, Lord, to see that, yea, there shall be suffering here below for thy name's sake. But, O Lord, how much greater and more blessed are the consolations for thy poor people here below. And we do believe, Lord, that thou dost appear, and particularly through thy word, to encourage us to journey on and to go forth in thy name. And that thou wilt be pleased, Lord, to help us to continue here below. And do be pleased then to be with us each. Keep and preserve us each in thy love and fear. And help us, Lord, to be steadfast in faith, steadfast in doctrine, steadfast in truth, steadfast in the Scriptures, Lord, that we're not left, Lord, to turn aside unto any easy believism, but that we may be sound in faith, and that we shall not be those, Lord, that shall fall into sin. We do pray, Lord, come to us in thy keeping power, and help us to embrace thy word, embrace the Scriptures. O Lord, our poor souls have nothing else to hold on to but what thou hast done and what thou hast spoken in thy word. And, O Lord, we have so many encouragements and particularly, Lord, that thou wilt never fail nor leave thy people here below. And, O Lord, we pray that we may be those indeed so favoured to have one managing, governing and ruling and reigning for us in heaven's high court above, and that one indeed who is able to bring us through our course and through all opposition and all enemies, world, flesh and devil. O Lord, we need thy help and we need thy grace. Pray, Lord, that thou wilt come to us and that we may be those, Lord, helped to continue in thy name and glorify thee in all our way and path. So, Lord, be with us each, and pray that we may be helped, Lord, to commit our all to thee. May we know, Lord, the throne of grace. O Lord, it is here that thou art pleased to hear the prayers and the petitions of thy people, and thou dost ever live to make intercession for them. And, Lord, it is that all-precious name of Jesus that we plead at the throne of grace. It is that name, Lord, that the Father loves to hear. If ye ask anything in my name, says Jesus, I will do it. Oh, we do pray, Lord, may we commit everything into thy hands. May we be able, Lord, to come to thee for everything and not be left to ourselves, Lord, and to the devices of our own hearts, we pray thee, but to wait upon thee, Lord, in all things, and to commit all our way and path to thee. And Lord, if we come to a crossroads, O Lord, we do pray, oh, that thou wouldest be pleased, Lord, to come and direct us and lead us in the way that thou wilt have us to go. We pray thee. Oh, we do pray, Lord, that we may be subject to thy holy and thy sovereign will in all things, to honour thee and to glorify thee here below, and that thou wilt be pleased to work in us to will and to do of thy good pleasure, we pray thee. So do help us, Lord, to continue in thy name and to please thee and to serve thee and to give glory to thee, Lord, we pray thee. And we do pray, Lord, that thou wilt then keep us and deliver us from all evil, from all wickedness and from this world. And help us, Lord, to know what it is to be separated and sanctified, set apart as a holy people unto thyself, and to deliver us, Lord, from this world and from all its vanity, from all its pleasures here below. Oh, that, Lord, there is nothing here below for the soul of a poor, needy sinner. But, Lord, we thank thee that we have something by far more precious than all things here below. We have a treasure in heaven, in Jesus, and one who loves his people, one who cares for them, presides over all their affairs, who knows the very number of the hairs of their head, and who hath said that fear not to them, ye are of more precious than many sparrows. And Lord, we see that preciousness in a suffering, dying Christ upon the cross. How precious were thy people to thy soul. How precious, Lord, that thou should suffer, bleed and die for them. How precious, Lord, were they, that thou shouldest suffer the bruises and the wounds and the nails and the lingering death. How precious were they. We cannot come into thy sufferings, Lord. But, O Lord, we do know of a truth that love is inscribed and written upon all that thou didst pass through for sinners upon the cross at Calvary. And we pray that that love may be reciprocated, Lord, that we might love thee more, seek thee more, be more devoted to thee, for that we can bear testimony. And with thy handmaid Mary, thou hast done great things for us. Oh, we do pray then, Lord, be with us once more. And keep us, Lord, watch over us for good. Be with us, Lord, in all our way and path. Be with all the afflicted, the tried, the tempted, the sick of thy people. Draw near to them where they are. Watch over them, Lord. And, Lord, help them to be still and to know that thou art God. Help them to wait upon thee, Lord. Thou knowest all about them. And, O Lord, we do pray that they might know that resignation to thy will. And also, Lord, that thou wilt sanctify those things that have come upon them to them, that they might be those all things that shall work together for good to them that love God and to them where they're called according to his purpose. Be with us now again, Lord. We look to thee. Help thy servant to speak in thy name. And pray, Lord, that the word this evening hour may be a word indeed to the comfort and peace of Zion. May be a word indeed that shall bring us near to Jesus, and that we shall feel an especial union and fellowship with him at this time, and that we shall be brought, Lord, this evening hour into the sweetness of our salvation once more. And so we ask these things with the pardon and the forgiveness of all our sins and for Jesus' sake. Amen.
Hymn number 740. Lord, when I hear thy children talk, and I believe 'tis often true, how with delight thy ways they walk, and gladly thy commandments do. In my own breast I look and read accounts so very different there, that had I not thy blood to plead, each sight would sink me to despair. Hymn 740.
help of the Lord, the Holy Spirit, we would seek to draw your attention to the Paul's Epistle to Timothy, chapter 4, and reading from verse 10. The first of Timothy, chapter 4, reading from verse 10. For therefore we both labour and suffer reproach, because we trust in the living God, who is the Saviour of all men, especially of those that believe. Paul is setting before Timothy certain charges, exhorting him that he might be a faithful servant of the Lord Jesus Christ, knowing that he would meet with much opposition, and particularly of the solemn truth of Antichrist that had begun and was increasing, of which we have in greatness today, in all false religion, false teaching, false prophets, and very solemn it is indeed, because there are so many that shall be in that great day be found as the five foolish virgins. Very solemn indeed, but we thank the Lord that we have the scriptures, and Paul was truly one that exhorted not only Timothy but also the churches into that faith of the gospel, and that faith in the word and in his truth, the scriptures. And this, dear friends, is the manner of the lives of the Lord's dear people, that they live upon his word, upon doctrine and truth, is the wonderful mercy. And the Lord has truly taught his dear people what it is to embrace, what it is to be steadfast, what it is to hold fast against all opposition that we may meet with here below. And that seems to be in the first words of our text. For therefore we both labour and suffer reproach. The true church of the Lord Jesus Christ, those that hold to truth and doctrine, those that have been taught by the Holy Spirit, those indeed that have followed the Lord, those that have truly been brought to see that his word to them is the most precious. And though there has been many changes in Scripture, and particularly in the interpretation of Scripture, that solemnly so many have turned aside. All this easy believism and the charismatic type of worship that we have today. There's so much, well, it's Antichrist, and there's so much of the flesh in it, so much of awful nature in it. And Paul suffered in respect of this. And it is true that today also. For therefore we both labour and suffer reproach. In verse 9 it says, this is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation. It may refer to what he has spoken prior, but I do believe it refers also to what is to follow. For therefore we both labour and suffer reproach. And it is for the name and for the sake of the Lord Jesus Christ. And we do suffer this reproach, dear friends, because we hold fast to faith, hold fast to the Lord Jesus, hold fast to Scripture, hold fast to his word. And really, it's this, the authorized version, dear friends. I have so many come to the doors and at the door of our house, and I have to contend. And I do believe I become a reproach, because I have to be faithful, I have to be sincere. And they call me sometimes very unchristian-like, and so it may be. But I've told them that I've got to have nothing to do with Antichrist according to the scriptures. And so that is it. I suffer reproach. I don't mind. Many of them, dear friend, election is a stumbling block. That is a great stumbling block to many of them. But I stand to be a reproach, and I don't mind. I know that the Lord, the Spirit, has been pleased to teach me and to show me the way of life in Jesus. And it's his word. And it's the scriptures. It's the word that he speaks to us. And this is the nearest and most accurate, dear friends. The Spirit of the Lord is in it. The word of our God. And it must be held on to. Must be embraced. For it is this word that the Holy Spirit is pleased to take and to bless to the souls of the Lord's dear people. Paul was one who came into great trouble in respect of the resurrection and so forth. Great stumbling block to many. But it's such an important doctrine, isn't it, today? The resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. What hope have we got, dear friends, without that? What hope have we got for our poor souls? We're following the Lord, and that is the only blessing and the mercy that we have, and to hold on to it. And Paul here is saying, "For therefore we both labour." And it means in a sort of a weariness. He had to contend so much for the gospel. If I can just turn to a word and just show that. It's a truth. And Paul was willing to bear reproach for the name and for the sake of the Lord. He says, "We are troubled on every side, yet not distressed. We are perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Cast down, but not destroyed. Always bearing about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our body." Yet to come against much opposition, dear friends. And that is the word here. "For therefore we both labour." And then another word. He says, "By honour and dishonour, by evil report and good report, as deceivers and yet true, as unknown and yet well known, as dying and behold we live, as chastened and not killed, as sorrowful yet always rejoicing, as poor yet making many rich, as having nothing and yet possessing all things." He passed through, dear friends, the struggles against the opposition that he met with. And, dear friends, some of you may meet with it. Some of our younger people, you may meet with it. Dear friends, amongst those with whom you work and in the midst of, but always be ready to suffer reproach, you see, to the glory of the Lord. There is a day, dear friends, when we must all be judged for those things that we have both done and said in the earth. And that great judgment day, dear friends, It will bring the solemn truth to many of those that have spoken against the Lord, the scoffers and the mockers of the day, you see. And so we suffer. And we suffer for his name's sake. We suffer and we're pleased to suffer because of what he has done for us, because of that great change that he has shown to us. And he's brought us into a new and a living way. He's brought us in the right way, dear friends, the Lord. And that is our mercy. We haven't been left, dear friends, to all this easy believism that is about today. No, this is the wonderful truth. And we can say this truth, can we not? That it is God that met with us. God that met with us. You see, it is he that came. And it was Father, Son and Spirit in our whole salvation. And so that we can determine a one truth as we journey forth here below. Because we trust in the living God. And this is it, isn't it? This is the real blessing that came to us. Because we trust in the living God. What is this trust? It means that all our hope and all our confidence is in him. And really it is he that began with us, isn't it? And so, dear friends, why should we not bear reproach? It is our God that began with us. And we may just turn to a truth. And it's a wonderful truth. This word truth means, this word trust means hope and confidence. And that is what we had when God met with us. When he began to show to us our need as sinners. When he began, dear friends, to show to us our great need of a saviour. It was he that began to work in us by his grace. And no man can receive anything unless he receive it from heaven. It must come from heaven. It must be a heavenly calling. Everything that will come into the soul and in the experience of a poor sinner here below. Dear friends, it will come from heaven. It comes only from heaven. You see, all these people that come to the door, they're bringing the flesh in their religion. It began in man and it will end in man. What a mercy that ours begins with God. And it says the living God. How do we know that he's the living God? How did we come into such a glorious acquaintance with this ever-living God who became our God? You see, we may have a knowledge, may have some intellect that we know that there is a God. But do we know that he's a living God? Has he imparted, dear friends, a living faith in our souls? Has he imparted his Spirit unto us? Do we know that he's a living God because he's only known through Jesus and only approachable through Jesus? Do we know that he's a living God in respect of that? The living God. Are we witnesses that he's the living God? Have we got the witness in us? I thought of a word in respect of that. And it's a word, dear friends. I believe that John Warburton used it once or twice in his book, actually. But it is a word that... It's in Isaiah chapter 44 and in verse 8. Fear ye not, neither be afraid. Have not I told thee from that time? And have I not declared it? Ye are even my witnesses. Is there a God beside me? Yea, there is no God. I know not any. Our God is the true and the living God. And he says, ye are my witnesses. Well, where is that witness, dear friends? Isn't it in the glorious salvation that he gave to us through Jesus? Isn't it the witness that we are his children? Isn't it the witness that all our sins have been pardoned and forgiven? Isn't this the witness that we have? Most glorious witness. And dear friend, it is a testimony of his finished work of Christ on the cross in our souls. Have we got that witness of a crucified Christ in our souls? I just think of a word in saying that, because if that is the witness, it's a wonderful witness. And I believe it was a word that the Lord wrote. Paul wrote to the church at Galatia. He said to them, O foolish Galatians, who hath bewitched you, that you should not obey the truth, before whose eyes Jesus Christ hath been evidently set forth, crucified amongst you. Where is the witness of a crucified Christ? Why, it's a pardoned and forgiven sinner, dear friends. That is Christ and him crucified. It's what he came to do for sinners. And isn't it the witness, dear friends, that our God is a living God? Didn't he send his dearly beloved Son into this world, dear friends, to save his people from their sins? And so this is the mercy that this God, this living, this true God, is our God, and forever and ever, for what he has done and wrought in us through the dear person of his dearly beloved Son. This is the wonderful truth here in this word, because we trust in the living God. We trusted in his salvation. We trusted in the gift of his dearly beloved Son to save us from our sins. It was our only hope when the Spirit of the Lord showed to us our need of a Saviour. Yes, we were burdened with sin. We were labouring under sin's load. We're captives, prisoners, but prisoners of hope, because he sent his dearly beloved Son for us to be a propitiation for our sins, and not for our sins only, for the sins of the whole world, meaning a believing world, the wonderful truth. And so, I was just going to read a word that Paul wrote to the church at Ephesus, that we should be to the praise of his glory, who first trusted in Christ, that was Paul, and then in whom ye also trusted, and the margin word is that hoped, same words as our text, hoped. And dear friends, this is the truth, who first trusted in Christ, in whom ye also trusted, after that ye heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also, after that ye believed, ye were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise. Sealed. This is the wonderful truth here, the words of our text, because we trust in the living God. We trusted in him for our salvation, and we can trust in him for everything thereafter. Everything. And that is what Paul here is saying, and referring it to Timothy. You see, he has got someone to trust in. All his hope and all his confidence is to be found in his God, the living God. This God who does act for and on the part of his people. He does appear for them. And David understood the truth. One thing, dear friends, that we should be very careful of. Having now been brought to know that our God is the true and the living God, we may just have a little emphasis also in the fact that the only true God, no other God, no other idols, dear friends, just one God, true and living God. And then that we should never be left to trust in ourselves anymore. And dear friends, we need to mark this as we journey on. Never let us look to ourselves. Never let us find our way through our own course here below. Never let us, dear friends, try and overcome our own enemies. No, we have one to turn to, trusting in the living God. A living God. Think of it, dear friends. This living God is a God, dear friends, the God of his people. And he is a God that is very near to them. And he is a God that will absolutely care for them in every part and aspect of their lives. Dear friends, he loved with an everlasting love. And he sent his dearly beloved Son to show every expression of that love to his people. See, upon the cross, every expression of God's love in Christ, all that he came to do, all that he came to suffer. This God, dear friends, will never let go his people. No. Just one or two thoughts in respect of this trusting in him as we journey forth here below. First, let us never trust in ourselves. I just turned to that word in Proverbs chapter 3. That we're never, dear friends, to rely and to trust in our own sense and reason. Our own so-called knowledge or even wisdom, dear friends. No, never let us trust in that anymore. Our mercy is this, dear friends, to trust in the Lord, to wait upon him in respect of everything that concerns us, in our lives, in our workplace, in our homes, in everything. Trust alone in the Lord. Wait upon him. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not unto thine own understanding. Oh, the Lord forbid that we should be left to ourselves and to our own understanding, but only to trust in the Lord. And we have the Lord, dear friends, in every part of our lives. We can entrust our all unto him. First, he declares to us plainly that this living God is the eternal God, and he is our refuge, dear friends. The eternal God is our refuge, and we have a refuge, and we can trust to this refuge in all the times of our trouble, the times of our need. He is that only refuge to turn into. And when I say a refuge, dear friends, what about thy soul? You know, when the Lord will begin to show you your need as sinners, you will need a refuge. You will need a refuge. And that refuge is in Jesus. And dear friends, go directly to him. He alone, dear friends, is the refuge for sinners. It is that the gospel is made known. And he is that only one, dear friends. We have a glorious covering, a refuge in that precious blood that he shed. And we sang a little of it just now. It's a treasure. I think it was in the last verse. That is the only refuge for your soul, soul trouble. The only refuge. And I speak perhaps to seekers, but also to those of the Lord's people. Because, dear friends, we will be brought oft to feel that old man of sin. We'll be oft brought to feel all the uncleanness, all the filth still of an old nature. But he is our refuge, one that we can flee to, and one that we can trust in. The only hope that we have, dear friends, as we journey on, no other hope but what God has done and provided in Jesus. He is a refuge for sinners, a sure hiding place to cover all the evil and the wickedness of our hearts, washing, cleansing, healing. And then, because he is the living God, and because he cares so much for his people, underneath and the everlasting arms. And dear friends, think about that. None shall ever be lost. He cares so much for his people. And to trust in him, to wait upon him, in times of sickness, times of disease, times of affliction, dear friends, to come to him and to realize the blessing of these everlasting arms that are beneath, and that every matter with us, dear friends, is with him. You know, we come into times of sickness and disease, and we begin, dear friends, to fret. But dear friends, the everlasting arms are underneath. Not one poor soul can ever be lost. They're always beneath the poor soul. And it will bear them up, it will carry them, support them. And this is the mercy that belongs to us. Not one shall be lost. And I think, in respect of trusting in him, we do not know what a day may bring forth, do we? We're going forth in life's uncertain path, and it is an uncertain path. But you see, who have we got? Who can we lean upon? Who can we trust in and hope in? This truth, dear friends, that our God is that one indeed that has prepared and made everything ready for all circumstances, for all needs of his people. And he knows how to appear for them. And what a mercy it is that we can trust in him. He is one, dear friends, that will protect us and defend us entirely. Satan could never overcome poor Job, that poor weak man. But Satan could never overcome him. No, he was in the hands of the Lord Jesus. And Jesus would never let him go. Whatever afflictions and troubles and trials we may be brought to pass through, the Lord was his stay. The Lord was his keeper, preserver. That is the mercy. And the Lord brought him through his course, didn't he? He didn't fail him, didn't let him down. And he could never be lost, dear friends. No. And then another truth in respect of those that know that our God is the true and the living God. He is that God, dear friends, that has made everything ready so that he can appear immediately for his people. and all those things that may come in and upon them in a moment. David said, and I believe it was a truth, when he had fled, yes, it was according to his own folly and foolishness, into the camp of the Philistines, Achish, king of Gath. What time I'm afraid, I will trust in the Lord. He was terribly afraid there, dear friends. Read the account. Terribly afraid. He feigned madness. But dear friends, he trusted in the Lord. What did he do? This poor man cried. And these are those that trust in the Lord. I have left in the midst of thee an afflicted and a poor people, and they shall trust in the name of the Lord. Oh, that all-glorious name, the name of the true and the living God. And this God is our God, dear friends. He will keep and preserve his people. Trust in him at all times, ye people. And David says, what time I am afraid, I will trust in the Lord. He hadn't got anyone else to go to. But dear friends, this is a word, isn't it? For anything that may be before us, let us know what it is to come to the Lord, for he is all our trust and all our hope, and it is he alone that will bring us through our course here below. None other. Let us know what it is to wait upon him, and we can trust him at the throne of grace, dear friends. His ear is ever open to the cry of the poor and the needy of his people. He loves to hear the prayers of his people, the destitute ones. He takes such regard of them. They're his. They're poor. And that's why they're his. They've been made poor through grace. And it's a good place and a position to be in, isn't it? Because it leaves us without any strength of our own. And then we have another truth in respect that he will supply all our needs. But my God will supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. He will supply all your need. We will never want, dear friends. No, our God will supply all our needs. We will want for nothing. We will have to wait upon him, trust in him. And then we can cast all our care upon him, because he cares for us. We can trust in him. Cast all our care upon him, everything that concerns us, cast it upon him, lay it before him. Let him manage it. Divine wisdom can manage for us, dear friends. Divine wisdom. Because we trust in the living God. And what was the blessing then, trusting in the living God? We do not know what a day may bring forth, but what was the blessing that truly belonged unto Paul? He says, for the which cause I also suffer these things. Nevertheless, I am not ashamed, for I know whom I have believed, and am persuaded. This word believed means whom I have trusted. That's what it means. Whom I have believed, and am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I have committed unto him against that day. And dear friends, is that the blessing? Is that, dear friends, what we can do, really and truly? Commit everything to him. everything in his hand. And you know, dear friends, he is that one that deals in his rich mercy for his people. He loves them. Shows all his kindness and his care and keeping towards them. He watches over them for good. His eyes are upon the faithful in the land. And we can trust in him. If we can trust in him for our salvation, we can trust in him, dear friends, for everything. And to bring us through our course. And I just close on this particular point in respect of Paul. Notwithstanding, the Lord stood with me and strengthened me, that by me the preaching might be fully known, that all the Gentiles might hear, and I was delivered out of the mouth of the lion. He is now in the council of the ungodly men, dear friends. And he said, and the Lord shall deliver me from every evil work, and will preserve me unto his heavenly kingdom, to whom be glory for ever and ever. Amen. Trust in him, because it is he that will preserve us and keep us. And we think of that wonderful Psalm 121. It will be our helper. It will be all our care. And he will be the keeper of his people. And this is the mercy. Because we trust in the living God, who is the Saviour of all men. This is a word, I think it's twice, this word Saviour in the Scriptures is not to be interpreted as meaning the Saviour, the Redeemer, the Lord Jesus Christ. It means he is the preserver. And it means this. And I don't know whether you may have ever read this word before. But it means this. Who is the Saviour of all men. He preserves. He provides and supplies. For all of his creatures. Here below. All of them. The worldly ones, the wicked ones, the evil ones, the ungodly ones, all. He provides for all. That is what this word means. And it is in this truth we're all his creatures. And in him we all live and move and have our being, all. And yet it is a wicked world, dear friends, that do not know that they're being provided for each and every day by the Lord. They do not know it. But it is true. It is he that has given us the fruits of the land. As just recently, it is he that has provided. And he has given to all. And that is what this means. The Lord's dear people, thank, praise and bless him for these things. The world, they're in darkness and ignorance of this most glorious truth, that even from the time of the beginning, the Lord has provided for all. All. And he provides for all today. And yet there are so many that are turned against him and hate him. And yet he is providing for them at the same time. It's most awful, dear friends. Who is the Saviour of all men? They're all in his hands in that respect. And he's the Saviour of all men. But there's this truth, dear friends. He knows the end of all men. And there will be a judgment of all. And there's going to come a day, dear friends, when they will know the truth. They will have to answer before him. of all their ungodliness and all their wickedness. This one that has brought them, yes, and there are many today, they live in riches and wealth, dear friends, and the Lord provides for them. There are many living in a luxurious living, and we're not to envy them at all, dear friends. No, not at all. They come into this world with nothing, dear friends, and they'll depart with nothing, but there will be a judgment day when they will have to answer for everything, every action, every deed, every word, every thought of their hearts. They will have to answer before this living God, who is the Saviour of all men, and then it especially, and it means chiefly of all, chiefly of those that believe. Now this, dear friends, isn't it a wonderful truth that we come to this knowledge that it is the Lord that provides for us, supplies our needs day by day, and shortly there will be quite a few Thanksgiving services in particular to thank the Lord, to praise and bless him. But you know, we thank the Lord from day to day, do we not, for his provision towards us. Oh, we do, dear friends. We live upon him. And I'm thankful, dear friends, that we thank him at our meal tables. It is glorifying to him. But especially of those that believe. What a mercy it is to have a believing faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Just one or two thoughts in respect of this. But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. This is a wonderful truth, dear friends. To believe in the name of the Son of God. It's a believing faith in his name. And this word receive and believe, dear friends, they're linked together, enjoined together. If we have received him, it's because we have believed him, dear friends, believed on him. And that word in the margin in respect of this power refers to the privilege or the right. And it is a truth, isn't it? But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God. The right, isn't it, through Jesus, dear friends? Isn't it here that God so loved the world, and he loved, dear friends, a remnant through grace, elect through grace, chosen through grace? Isn't it here that those will be gathered, dear friends, in and through the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ? Isn't it those that shall be blessed with a believing faith in him? Isn't it those that shall come to him? And this is the truth. I just turn to another word that's just come on. And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish. Where will they be brought to go, dear friends? They will be brought to go to this man, as Moses was lifted up in the as a serpent. Even so must the Son of Man be lifted up. That is where they will be drawn, dear friends, to his cross. Have we come to the Lord, dear friends, with all the sorrow and the mourning and the crying over our sins and iniquities? Haven't we been brought to see what God has provided in Jesus for such indeed that come with such a complaint upon their spirit? the heavy burden of their sin? It's here. It's here to the cross of Jesus. There's no other hope here, dear friends. And it's a believing faith in him, a faith in his finished work, and a faith in that precious blood of his, that it is able to cleanse from all sin. Able. And this is one that is the word this morning. A mighty God, meaning an able God. And he is able to save unto the uttermost all that come unto God by him. All. Whatever thy sins are, dear friends, he is able to save to the uttermost sinner, to give them the uttermost salvation, even everlasting life. And this is the wonderful truth of these words, I believe. Here, that to them gave he power. You know, if he has put a cry into thy poor soul, then, dear friends, that cry will lead thee to Jesus. It's a cry for mercy. Sang a little of that mercy in the first hymn. It's a cry for mercy. It will be like unto the cry of the publican, God be merciful to me, a sinner. And that mercy is in Jesus, in his cross. And mercy is to be found there. And we have to thank our God, dear friends, for the unspeakable gift of his dearly beloved Son. If he has brought thee to cry and to mourn and to sorrow over thy sins, he has provided, dear friends, a wonderful provision of salvation for thy soul. I do not believe, dear friends, that once he has brought a real cry into thy soul, that he will come and appear. I really do believe that it was with the children of Israel. He heard their cry. He said, and I am come down to deliver them. And our deliverance is in Jesus and upon his cross. And a believing faith in what Jesus came to do. A believing faith in the precious blood that he shed. A believing faith that he is able to pardon and forgive. A believing faith, dear friends, that he is able to set the prisoner free, give liberty to the captive, is able. And what a mercy it is then to flee and to flee alone unto him. And, you know, it's this power, privilege of what it is to become the children of God, the sons of God, heirs of God, joint heirs with Christ Jesus. And the Spirit, dear friends, will confirm this truth in our souls. The Spirit itself will confirm with our spirit that we are the sons of God. And this is the word, isn't it? But as many as received him, to them gave he power. He gave power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. And this many has received him are those whom he gave to Jesus before time began. As many as received him, they will receive him. And it will be by a living faith upon the blessedness of his person. There will be no other hope for the soul. I know that when the Lord, dear friends, laid me low in respect of sin, there was no other hope for me, no other hope whatsoever. And he gave me a word to encourage me. When ye pray, whatsoever thing ye desire, when ye pray, believe that ye receive them and ye shall have them. My desire was that I should know Jesus to be my Saviour and Redeemer. That was my prayer. And he gave me that word because I'd prayed that word so often. When ye pray, whatsoever ye desire, you see, and it was my only desire to know Jesus and him crucified to be my Saviour and Redeemer. And he was pleased, dear friends, to bring me under the truth of that word in the 6th of John, verse 51. And there I beheld my great salvation in Jesus. And so we close, dear friends, this word. And I do pray that each and every one may be truly looking to Jesus and seeking that this word may belong to them, especially of those that believe. Chiefly for those. And he is, dear friends, that one to be believed in for our salvation. Well, may these thoughts, dear friends, the Lord, let them abide in our poor hearts. Salvation is full and free in Jesus. It isn't the labour of our hands, dear friends. No, we've got nothing to bring before him, only our filthy sins, all our filthy garments. But he is pleased, dear friends, to cleanse us and to heal us from all sin and defilement is our great mercy. And remember that believing in him, sons, we have then an inheritance. We're those indeed blameless. We're those, dear friends, whom the Lord has prepared a city which hath foundations, whose builder and maker is God. Everything belongs to us, to those that believe, and our end will be the best. Amen.
The collections last Lord's Day were £755, for which we're very thankful. God willing, Mr. Pocock will preach at our special services tomorrow at 3 o'clock and 6:15, and collections will be taken for the Bethesda Short Stay Fund. And God willing, Mr. Ince will preach for us again next Lord's Day and administer the Lord's Supper after the evening service. Let us close with hymn 1095. Dearest of all the names above, my Jesus and my God, who can resist thy heavenly love or trifle with thy blood? Hymn 1095.
pray that thy name alone have all the honour, praise and glory. Pardon and forgive everything that has been amiss and sinful with us. Take us each to our homes in peace and safety. Now may thy grace, Lord Jesus, the love of God the Father, the fellowship and communion of God the Holy Spirit, rest and abide upon each one of us, now and forever. Amen.